Hi, this is George Porter, and you're listening to the Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to yet another attempt to keep a regular podcast feature going throughout the season. My name's Jeff. As ever, I'm joined by David Cook and Matt Hall.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys? All good?
Good. Back for another season.
Yeah, excited. Looking forward to it. Hopefully it'll be a good one.
Fantastic. We've called it Ravens Weekly, which obviously means it's probably going to end up being monthly or fortnightly.
We live in hope.
No, I'm sure we're committed to this, so we've got to make sure we get it done. What's our previous record for episodes within a season?
42 games of the season, 13, I think it was.
So. 13 last season, that nearly done. Oh, that's terrible. Thank you very much for downloading, tuning in and listening. Where to start?
We start by interviewing some of the new signings, as well as catching up with player coach Alan Dunn.
We say a very fond farewell to goalkeeping coach Glenn Schimmel.
Matt catches up with the newly formed women's recreational team Bromley Bells.
And Cookie and Scott give us the lowdown on their 10k charity run.
We've got the review of the opposition ahead of our trip to AFC Fold, as well as previewing the home game with Dover.
And last but by no means least, we catch up with Jordan Higgs, Mark Hammond and manager Neil Smith on the excitement of the opening weekend.
Okay, so we start with the comings and goings. Obviously, a few fans' favourites have left and have joined the Football League. We wish them all the very best.
Yeah, it's fantastic that we are now attracting league interest for our players again. The days of Harrison Dunk and Sam Wood, Gareth McCleary. And now, obviously, it's happening again. Louis Dennis has gone to Portsmouth in the off-season. And a double sweep, really. I know he was a Charlton player, but Brandon Hanlon, loaned to Bromley last year, is now at Gillingham. As well as Josh Reece, so wish them all the best.
And obviously the incoming, I think we're going to start with Jake Goodman.
Yeah, so Jake joins us from Maidenhead United. He's a centre-back, 6'2", 24 years old, got a lot of potential as well. Started out at Millwall in the youth ranks, if you like. Had loan spells at Wimbledon, Aldershot Town and Staines. Then moved on to Margate, Braintree Town and then Maidenhead United. And we've seen him play against Bromley a few times over the past few years. And we look forward to seeing him in a Bromley shirt. I'm sure you'll both agree. I managed to catch up with Jake just after he signed, and here's what he had to say. Jake Goodman, welcome to Bromley. How do you feel?
Oh, fantastic. Delighted for the deal to be done so early. Delighted to be back in full time, which I've missed for a few years through being part time, but I'm delighted Bromley's given me this opportunity to be full time again.
And you seem really pleased to be here. What was it about the club that drew you in?
The manager and his ambition to want to go that next step, and that's exactly what I want. I want to play as high as possibly can, and I'm now at a stage where I think we can go that next level, and hopefully that happens throughout the season.
We've seen you play against Bromley a few times over the past few seasons. What do you think you can bring to the side?
I like to be very loud on the pitch. I like to talk and be dominant in the air. That's my game. I know my strengths, and I know I like to go and head the ball and play up against big centre forwards, and I like to go and win the ball in the air.
Can you tell us a bit about your career history, the clubs you've been at?
Yeah, well, I started off at Millwall. I was there from a first year scholar, so I joined the academy game really late. Then I was shipped out on loan a couple of times to, first of all, Staines when I was a second year scholar, then Luton, Aldershot, AFC Wimbledon. Got released by Millwall, never played a game, which is very, very disheartening being a Millwall fan. Went to Margate through circumstances, and then I've had to rebuild. You know, you're getting these knocks in football, and it's all about rebuilding. Jamie gave me an opportunity a few years ago at Braintree, get back in the conference, and then Dev last year was fantastic to me again at Maidenhead, and my performances showed what I could do, and now I want to go into full time and go that next step, which I believe I've got.
Jake, we're delighted to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Some very encouraging words here from Jake Goodman, Matt.
Yeah, clearly confident in his abilities, which is really, really good. It's what you want to see. Another hungry player added to this team, full of young, hungry players already, and some experienced heads as well, which is a really good mix at the moment. So, yeah, looking
That's
forward to seeing
right.
him play.
Talking of experienced heads, it's not a new signing, but we caught up with Neil Smith on securing Alan Dunn services for the next season as well. Involved more in the coaching side rather than playing now, but again, he's someone that brings a lot of experience, and he did do last season.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't play a 400-plus game for Millwall without having something about you. And he's definitely made a difference since he's come in. And, yeah, it was great to welcome him on board as first-team coach now.
That's it. And you caught up with him, Matt. And then immediately after this interview with Neil Smith, we caught up with Alan Dunn. I don't know if Neil was standing next to Alan during the interview.
I think there was a little bit of pressure on Neil in that one, yeah.
But he clearly is a big fan of his, and here's what they had to say.
Neil, Alan Dunn has signed a new deal as a player, and he's also going to be your first team coach.
Yeah, since he's come in, Alan's been a great help to me and Hamo, and it was only, it was an easy decision to then bring him in on my coaching staff. So Alan will be coming in as my first team coach, and obviously a player as well with his vast experience. I'm going to have a young squad next year, and I'm going to need experienced players around him, and Alan gives me that. And he's been a credit to himself fitness wise and when he's played, so I don't see there's a problem if I have to play him. But on the other side, I'm gaining a very experienced player that can help the boys through the season and help me on the coaching side as well.
That's going to be massive, especially for those younger players, the likes of Dan Johnson and Toby Adebayo Rowling coming in, for players like Alan to be working with.
You don't spend that amount of time at one club if you haven't got the dedication and the right attitude, and that's what I need to bring into, as I say, keep saying, my young squad. They're enthusiastic, they're very eager to learn, and with someone like Alan on board, they've got someone to go to for experienced, and as I say, since he's come through the door, I couldn't have asked any more, so I'm absolutely delighted to get this one across the line.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Was he listening to that?
Danny, you've now joined officially the coaching staff as first team coach whilst staying on as player as well. How do you feel?
Yeah, delighted. Really pleased. I've been here 20 months now and I've enjoyed every single moment of it. Obviously, Neil took me in and Mark Emmond, and I had to earn my stripes, gain their trust. They come in, but since I've been in working with them, learning from the manager and Ammo, I've really enjoyed my time, and to stay in and sign again. Really pleased personally myself.
And a great first season for you in that sort of role last year as well. Getting to Wembley, are you excited about the prospects for this year?
Yeah, I came here. When I came here, I want success. And the club's tasted success last year. And look, I know we've got goals and targets we want to hit personally and for the club. And me, Neil, and Ammo, and the board sat down in the summer, and we have our goals. And last year, we tasted a bit of success. We finished just outside the playoffs. We got to Wembley. But we want to kick on. It's the start of something here where we can go on and achieve things. And to be at a club and to be part of that personally myself, I'm very proud.
And obviously, in terms of developing young players, it must be something that you relish doing and enjoy seeing the results of.
Yeah, coaching and football is all I've ever done since a young age. It's all I want to do. And the young players we got here last year and working with them, they've come on. Working with the back four, doing the defending. We had a good season last year defensively. But we want to get better. I want to get better. I want them to get better. And my experience helping them on the pitch, off the pitch, in the dressing room, is all part of building something at this club that's very special.
Great to hear Alan speak so passionately about our football club there. Moving back to the new signings, we welcomed Mark Anthony to Hayes Lane in the summer.
Yes, Mark is a 6'5", 25-year-old centre-back, and the best thing about that one is that he's actually been part of Bromley for a long time now.
Sorry, it sounded like the start of Blind Date when you were giving it... giving him their criteria. He's 6'2". Sorry, Matt, carry on.
We're carrying on. All right, and he was part of Bromley from the under-9s right through to the academy, playing with players such as Bradley Goldberg and Brendan Kiernan. So he really has a connection with this club. He's from Bromley himself, so really, really good to get him on board. And Cookie, you caught up with him, didn't you, just after he joined the club?
Mark, welcome to Bromley Football Club. Obviously, no stranger to Hayes Lane. Just tell us a little bit about your background.
Background, well, last season I was at Braintree. We were on promotion from the National South. Two seasons before that, I was at Merston Football Club. I joined on loan originally from Dulwich Hamlet. And when I was at Dulwich, I come from Erith Belvedere.
You was in our under-9s as well for the Bromley Junior section. So you obviously went for a couple of years and know a couple of former players as well, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of the boys who I was with from under-9s, we all went into like the college programme together and things like that, and everyone then went on their separate ways from there in their football careers and stuff. But yeah, I've been around the club for quite a while now.
Fantastic. So what's it like to be back?
It's amazing to see the transformation at the club, to be honest with you. Coming in, it's just everything's just totally changed and it's developed. And I think is a good example of where the club are trying to head to.
That's it, and you are looking forward to getting going now with pre-season ready to get underway this week?
Yeah, definitely. Just can't wait to meet the boys, get in, you know, full-time training as well, and just reach my peak.
Fantastic. Mark, thank you very much and welcome to Bromley.
Great to hear from Mark there, and pleasure to welcome him back, as it were, to Bromley Football Club. The latest signing was striker Junior Agedi Ezukwe on loan from Colchester United, and I caught up with him after he signed on the dotted line. Junior, welcome to Bromley. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels, obviously, he's different from Colchester, but yeah, it feels good. Good lads, and obviously I know the manager from 2 years back coming here on trial, so yeah, everything's been good.
And how was your first training session today? Bit of a hot one?
Yeah, it's obviously it's a hot day, so yeah, it's tiring, it's very sweaty, but yeah, it's a good session as well. Very relaxed session as well.
And potentially straight into action tomorrow?
Yeah,
at Wilstone, are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, hopefully. Obviously I can hit the ground running and hopefully get a few goals and yeah, see how it goes.
Thanks for that, Matt. And obviously Junior did get some game time in that 2-1 win over Wilstone, pre-season friendly. Strange twist of fate really there with regards to the fact that he was trialling with us 2 years ago. Amazing how the football world works. Moving on then, probably time we summarise the squad that is going to be going into this 2018-19 season, Matt.
Absolutely, yeah. I've got the confirmed list of squad numbers here, and in true stadium announcer fashion, I'm going to run through them. So David Gregory, of course, keeping the number one shirt. Coming in at two, Toby Adebayo Rowling. Dan Johnson makes the move to number three. Frankie Sutherland also switches to number four. Another change, Roger Johnson takes up the vacant number five shirt. Jack Holland, the captain, of course, sticking with number six. New signing, Bobby Joe Taylor takes number seven. Frankie Raymond sticks with eight. Omar Bagil gets the number nine shirt this season, whereas Carl De Silva comes in at 10. Adam Mekki sticking with 11. Alan Dunn moves to 12. Max Huckster, number 13. Jordan Higgs stays with 14. Mark Anthony Okoye takes 15. Jake Goodman takes 16. Reese Meekums takes 17. George Porter stays with his 18. And loan signing Junior Agedi Ezukwe takes number 19.
Fantastic. Obviously, just to explain it, I'm sure there are a few players who had favourite numbers, and I know one of the players wanted 29 or something like that. Obviously, National League rules state you have to issue the numbers in the order, almost in the order that they sign, for example. Once squad list is agreed upon, now any new sign, the natural next sign, we'll have to take the next number. That's correct, isn't it?
That is, yeah. So it's got to be consecutive. You can't jump numbers.
Fantastic. So that's the team, that's the squad that's going to take us into this opening weekend of the season. Who knows? It may be a few more additions before the weekend's out. Okay, next up, we're going to touch briefly on the departure of goalkeeping coach Glenn Schimmel. Glenn, for those of you who don't know, having spent nine or so years around the club in one form or another, has unfortunately departed the club and has joined Millwall.
Yeah, and Glenn obviously, as well as playing a massive part in the development of all the goalkeepers at the club, was responsible for the success of the Youth Academy, which has grown from strength to strength under his sort of leadership with Mark Hammond as well. And yeah, it's gutting to lose him.
Yeah, and obviously another important role he played for us in the last couple of years was adding a bit of humour to our podcast. So in true Glenn fashion, we decided to summarise five of his best / worst jokes of the week.
Five. Yeah, there was a guy, he got he had to go to court because he'd vandalised the library book. He'd used Tippex and taken out all the full stops. He's expecting a long sentence.
Four. Not really a joke. I was a bit disappointed that I heard that 20 crates of Red Bull got nicked from the newsagent at the end of the road. I just don't know how they sleep at night.
3.
I've been playing a bit of that quiet tennis. It's the same as normal tennis, just but without the racket.
2.
Me and Ammo went to Pizza Express. It was quite sad because as I was going to the toilet and I was looking in the kitchen, I saw the chef on the floor and he was covered in pepperoni and cheese, and he topped himself.
1.
I was in the new inn last night and a bloke walked in with black socks on, black shorts and a black top and a whistle, and I just turned around to my mate and went, oh, it's going to kick off in a minute.
So that's that. A great laugh around the place. I know he'll generally be missed by a hell of a lot of us here at the football club, and I know we all wish him all the very best for the future.
Still more to come on the new and improved Ravens Weekly official Bromley FC podcast.
Hold on, new and improved, it's not for us to decide.
Coming up still, we're going to talk about the charity run that myself, Scott and Neil Smith took part in, as well as previews for RC Fylde and Dover Athletic. But first, we're going to catch up with Bromley Bells, a new ladies team formed. Matt, just talk us through that.
Yeah, so it's run by Andrea, who I had the pleasure of catching up with, which we'll hear from shortly. It's for over 30s and started a few months ago, and it's really, really picked up. It's become a big part of the club, and the numbers are really, really impressive. I went to watch some training. Really, really interesting. Great to see. And like I said a minute ago, caught up with Andrea, who runs it, and here's what she had to say about it. Andrea, you have founded the Bromley Bells. How's it been?
Oh, it's been fantastic. We started in March, so we've been going a few months now, and as you can see, we've got about over 20 odd girls coming every week.
So can you summarise what the Bromley Bells actually is to, for people who don't know?
There's a lot of women who aged over 30 who didn't get a chance to play football, so we're called a women's recreational football team. Basically, if you're over 30, then you can come and play. It's all about having fun. We've got lots of different abilities. Some people never ever kicked a ball before, and some people who have played in the past, so all abilities are welcome. Come along, have a training session, have a bit of a laugh, and learn some new things.
Sounds absolutely brilliant. How did you come up with the idea? What's your backstory?
I played football when I was younger, but I didn't get a chance to play in secondary school because I went to an all-girls school, and girls weren't just allowed to play football, as lots of these women would say to you as well. That was their experience. Played at uni, played a little bit after uni as well, but then since then, absolutely nothing. You know, you get men's vets, but there's nothing for women that are slightly older. So just had a thought one day, had a little bit of a Google, found that there was a team called Crawley Old Girls, and had a little chat with them, and they said, yeah, go for it, why don't you go and speak to your FA? And so I spoke to Natalie at Kent FA, and she said, have a word with Bromley Football Club, see if they'll help you out, which obviously they have.
And there's so many people here. Did it pick up like this straight away, or have the numbers grown each week?
Well, we put a lot out on Twitter and Facebook, so the power of social media. We started off with about 12, and then it's picked up, and then so now a lot of these girls have been coming, you know, for at least 2 months. So yeah, it's picked up really quickly, and people bringing their friends, and someone just said now, oh, a mum at school's just asked about Bromley Bells, can I come along? So yeah, of course, they're all welcome.
And you entered a tournament recently, and you've got another one coming up very soon as well.
Yeah, we entered the first national women's recreational football tournament in Crawley, took part with over 200 other women as well. It was a great day, everyone sort of shared interest in loving football, had lots of fun, we did really well, the girls played brilliantly. Got a new our next tournament next Saturday, that's being run by Crystal Palace, and we're going to be taking part in that, and yeah, so some of the girls are absolutely desperate to get back out on the pitch and play again.
And the Bromley Bells has been sort of embraced by the Bromley FC community scheme. It's become a real part of the club. How do you feel about that relationship moving forward?
Really, really proud about the relationship. Bromley have been fantastic. Everything from helping us with kit, and obviously we've got the new badge, which we are extremely proud about. We can't wait to pull the shirt on. It's such a lovely atmosphere here. We've really been welcomed with open arms. Obviously, training here at the pitch really makes us feel part of Bromley Football Club.
And you're excited to get your new kits as well? They're on the production line?
Very, very excited. We can't wait. As I said before, you know, we can't wait to put the shirts on and represent Bromley, and, you know, it's it's massive. This is, some people have waited 40 years to play competitive games, and to wear a shirt and feel part of the whole team of Bromley is great.
Well, Andrea, congratulations on a brilliant achievement. Keep up the hard work and we'll catch you again soon.
Lovely, thank you.
Okay, so I'm still joined by David Cook, but I've also been joined by Scott Brown, our club chef. Some of you may already know, on the 15th of July, Cookie, Scott and manager Neil Smith took part in the London 10K charity run. I say took part, completed it, which is fantastic. And you guys were running for Chartwell Cancer Trust, our good friends. How'd it go? How's the training?
Training for me was brilliant. So we got advised of the run about 2-3 months before. Neil went to a charity gala, I think, at the Glades with Chartwell. And when they said about it, he came back and said that he wanted to do it. And obviously me and Scott jumped on it immediately, getting into it as well. It was a fantastic opportunity to set myself a challenge. And over that 2 months, well, I lost 2 stone. I worked my backside off training. Yeah, Scott, how was your training?
My training was very good. I didn't train at all. I just turned up and just did it, and it was a great day out.
So everyone that knows Scott know that he runs about all over the show during match days anyway. So I think his fitness was probably already there where mine wasn't. But it was fantastic, Jeff, just to do this.
Yeah, brilliant. Must have been great to have manager Neil Smith also come alongside you and to run it as a free. In terms of the actual day, it sounds like you did a mini marathon before you even crossed the start line.
Yeah, so the start, the warm-up pen area was down at Pall Mall at St James's Palace. And you have to walk all the way out. So we was, 45 minutes an hour just sort of like walking to the start. And you're trying to keep warm, you're stretching and doing everything you can. And then, I think 10 minutes before we're due to go off, Scott then needs a toilet, so he went and we lost Scott for the rest of the
run. I was going to say, Scott, I remember everyone beforehand saying, oh, we're all going to stick together, we'll run it as a free ball and everything like that. I don't think that's exactly what happens.
No, I went to the loo and then about 10 minutes into the race, I passed Cookie.
Oh, yeah, we took you.
Yeah,
what was the finishing order? I'm guessing it was Gaffer first.
Yeah, Neil said he didn't train either.
What the time, Scott?
My time was 109.
109?
Mine was 125.
Smudges?
Smudges was 54 minutes, I think.
Did he officially finish? What's all this about his number fell off? Didn't he cross the line without a number?
I went past the Houses of Parliament and saw a number on the floor, like a bib clip. It's got your tracker in. And I didn't think anything of it. And it actually turned out to be Smudges that he'd lost. So as he crossed the line in the last K, he'd lost his bib, so unofficially or officially he didn't finish, but he went across the time. It's got the timing as you go past, and
brilliant.
It's 54 minutes.
And in terms of obviously money raised, I think you guys, what was the target you set yourself?
We set ourselves £500. So the initial thing was just to make sure that there's a cost for the entrance of the race, which obviously is covered
by the charity.
Yeah, and then
everything over.
And then everything else is a bonus. So we set ourselves £500. The support was amazing. To be honest, we raised over with Gift Aid £1,300, which is incredible. And we can only really thank the Bromley fans for that, and family and friends for donating.
Okay, so here we are, the opening weekend of the Vanarama National League season for 2018-19. We start this Saturday away at AFC Fylde, and what better way to find out what we're going to be up against than to get a view from the opposition camp?
Yes, and on that note, I've drafted in AFC Fylde match day announcer Brian Porter, a friend of mine as well, who I've known for a few years now. He popped down to a Bromley game back in...
Oh, football friend!
Yeah, all right. Just all right. He came down to a Bromley game a few years ago and, got chat in there. Never really thought we'd come up against each other, as it were, but we find ourselves in the same league now. Great to meet him again last season and catch up, and great to do it again this season. And he's given us a comprehensive look back at pre-season as well as new signings and his thoughts ahead of the game tomorrow.
Pre-season's been eventful because Dave Challoner has been very busy in the transfer market with 7 signings ahead of the new season. And they seem to be gelling into a well-organised, well-drilled team. It's been interesting looking at the team over the three home games that I've done the stadium announcing for and seeing them develop from a well-organised set of people to very well-drilled, and you could clearly see the development in the play as the games have gone on. First home game pre-season was against Preston, and it was fairly even till Preston started scoring goals, and then the floodgates pretty much opened, especially when after 60 minutes they pretty much took off their second team and put the first team on, and you could see the difference in class. A much closer game against League Two Carlisle United, which saw the visitors go away with a 1-0 victory with a bit of a lucky deflection for the only goal of the game. And then a really tight game against Blackpool for a 1-1 draw with Danny Rowe hitting his first pre-season goal, and what a cracker it was from outside the box. And it was late on in the game when Nathan D'Alfonso equalised for the visitors. Fylde followed that up with a 3-0 away win at Curzon Ashton in midweek, which brings us to where we are now. What do I hope for from the season? Well, our chairman has already said it's going to be much tougher than it was last season, because we're not the unknown quantity that we were last season, and there's some big hitters come into the league. It's no secret about the amount of money that Salford City are spending to try and get their way out of this league. Ironically, we're not National League North. AFC Fylde used to be considered big spenders. Well, we certainly aren't big spenders in this league. As for the season itself, well, I would expect us to do well. I don't think we're relegation fodder. So there's me. I've just given the kiss of death, haven't I? And let's see what happens. We certainly have plenty to build on from last season. The players that have come in look really exciting and look like they're going to work hard for the team. And there's certainly a very good team ethic about the team. And let's get started. I really can't wait for Saturday, to be honest, to get back into some proper football. It's been great having pre-season games, but as a stadium announcer, when you're standing there and a team makes 11 changes and the other side makes 7, how on earth am I supposed to list that little lot? So look forward to Saturday when everybody's got a name on their shirt, everybody's got a number on their shirt, and there's only 3 substitutions each side. And bring it on. Let's welcome Bromley on Saturday. All the best, guys.
Another big thank you there to Brian. Fair to say, a comprehensive summary there of AFC Fylde and their pre-season so far. Obviously, looking back, we made a fantastic start there when we made the long trip last year. I think we were 2-0 up to start half-time.
We were, yeah. And then unfortunately, succumbed to 2 late goals and drew 2-2 in the end in that one. And obviously, later on in the season, I believe it was January, AFC Fylde made the trip down here and recorded a 1-0 victory against us. So we're still looking to get our first win against them. It'll be good to do that tomorrow.
For all those planning on making the trip, check out the Bromley FC website for information about travelling to Fylde. Remember that there are different prices for seating and standing, and tickets can be purchased in advance where the link is on the website. So next up, Dover. First game of the season at home in the Vanarama National League for the 18-19 season. Matt, we've had good success with them previously, especially last year.
Yeah, last year was particularly good. We played them 4 times and ultimately they failed to beat us on those 4 occasions. We won the league game away, which was the first Tuesday night game of the season, 2-1. Drew with them home here in the league in December, 2-2. And of course, we played them in the FA Cup as well, 0-0 draw away. And that was
expected us to lose that, didn't they? And that was the debut of Roger Johnson.
That's it. That's what I was about to say. Yes, Roger Johnson making his debut that day, helping us to a 0-0 draw, and brought them back to Hayes Lane and beat them 3-0 to get through to the first round, which was a fantastic occasion in itself.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I must admit, Dover and Chris Kinnear, every single year they seem to have a turnover of players, yet somehow they seem to pull together a strong side and always seem to be up there trying to challenge for that playoff spot. Don't forget, admission prices remain the same as last season if you purchase your ticket in advance, whether that's by popping down to the club beforehand or by purchasing your ticket online at www.bromleyfc.co.uk. There is a small increase on the admission prices if you are purchasing on the day. For all the details, check out the website. As we said, www.bromleyfc.co.uk.
Now, last but by no means least, I managed to catch up with Mark Hammond and Neil Smith on their thoughts on Dover and Fylde. But before that, Matt Hall spoke to Jordan Hicks.
Jordan, we start our league season away to AFC Fylde tomorrow. It's going to be a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah, difficult but exciting, really. It's been a tough pre-season, but I think we're all just excited now to get started. And at Fylde, it'll be a tough game. They obviously finished up there last season. So, yeah, it'll be a tough game, but we're looking forward to it. Yeah.
Obviously, you've spent this week preparing. How's training been so far?
Yeah, it's good. I think we've gelled well and just finishing tidying up on last bits now ahead of tomorrow's game, so we feel ready, we're prepared, yeah.
And all the new boys settling well into the group?
Yeah, it's a good bunch. The boys from last season, we've welcomed them in and yeah, they seem good, just excited.
Personally, how are you feeling ahead of the new season?
Me, yeah, I'm excited. It's probably been my first pre-season since I've been here, really. I've been injured and stuff, so yeah, looking forward to it, and hopefully on a personal note and as a team, it will be a successful season for us.
Brilliant, Jordan. Thank
Cheers.
You.
Cheers. Cheers, Matt.
Neil, thank you very much for joining us. The season's upon us now, and we look forward to going away with AFC Fylde as our first game.
Yeah, really excited. It's been a tough pre-season, a long one, obviously with the short break in between as well from last season. But no, the boys train today, look very lively, very sharp, and really excited about tomorrow.
Is confidence high in the camp? We've seen the team over the season. They look to have gelled really well, pretty much straight away from the first session.
Yeah, the boys that have come in have obviously just joined in where the club were last season. And, you know, they've got into the mentality of how we work, and we work hard, we play fair. But at the same time, we want to win games. So they've got to stick together. And so far, so good.
We've got Mark Hammond coming over to join us as well. It's good to get your opinions. Mark, it's been an interesting start to the season, especially pre-season as well. A lot of new players coming in. So what do you feel your thoughts are with us playing Fylde tomorrow?
It's going to be a tough game. You know, there's a lot of noise around them with the investment that they're throwing into the squad, and they've got their ambitions are that they want to be in the Football League like probably 70% of the league. But we're going to go there and put up and try and, you know, disrupt them and put up a tough fight and go toe to toe with them all the way. It's going to be hot with the heat, but nice. No, looking forward to it. All the players are looking forward to the season now, we're all excited.
Fantastic. And moving swiftly on, we played Dover on Tuesday, first home game. What a game to start off with. Local Kemp rival, sorry. And that's always a big game and a special fixture for the club, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's always a special game against Dover. You know, they've. Chris Kinnear always puts out a team that's very competitive, you know, always strong, big, physical. We know what to expect from them. It won't be any different even with the new players that they've got and the new players that we've got. We just hope that, you know, we get off to a good start on Saturday and get that backing, you know, from the FA Trophy final to, you know, take as many as we could. It'd be lovely to get to that 2,000 mark as an average for this club and just show this club's going in the right direction. You know, we're on the up and we're going to need the support. So as many as can come along, get behind us, because the supporters have acted like an extra man in most of the games all last season. And, you know, being with the tough start we've got in this season, we're going to need them, every man and woman, to come down and get behind these lads that have been working hard during pre-season.
Brilliant. Neil Smith, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Always great to hear such enthusiasm there from Jordan, Hammo and Smudge ahead of what promises to be an exciting opening weekend. Talking of opening weekends, we'd like to get you, the fans and listeners, involved in our next episode of the Bromley FC podcast.
That's it. There are a couple of ways to do this, but we want to hear your most favourite or memorable opening fixture of a season. Like I said, a couple of ways to do this. And Matt, how do fans get in contact with us?
Yeah, like you say, Cookie, we'd love you to get in touch with us. You can email podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk or you can tweet us @BromleyFC.
Again, so I imagine for a lot of people, it may well be Wrexham, the opening game of Conference South. For some of the older generation, I'm sure there's far more memorable opening games. Maybe not the favourites for people, but they might be memorable for other reasons. It'd be great to hear from as many people as possible. Like Matt says, you can email us, you can tweet us, and I think that's about it from us, guys. I think a massive thank you to everybody who's tuned in. Thank you, as always, to Matt and David. Don't forget, we'll be providing live commentary from AFC Fylde on Saturday from around 2:50 p.m. You can get that over on bromleyfc.co.uk, and it'll also be on our Twitter and Facebook pages.
And a big thank you, of course, to Graham Martin, responsible for producing and supplying us with the fantastic backing track for our podcast.
And if you're not listening to the live commentary on Saturday, then we will be back next week. Champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, 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 in Bromley.